Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Juskowitz?
7:33.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on March 10, 2016, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times, posting on the district website, main bulletin board, in the administrative office, and in the Clinton Township School, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Juskowitz, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mrs. Orlowski?
Here.
Mrs. McHugh? Mrs. Rudelgoda?
Here.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. Olkowski, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Sturgis, would you serve as a process guardian for tonight's meeting, please? Thank you. Dr. Clark? I'd like to move on and start with report of the superintendent of schools. Dr. Clark?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. As always, because we have a board meeting, I have to do an HIB report. Some things never change. So let me report that at Round Valley School, we had three incidents. Zero were founded, three were unfounded. At Clinton Township Middle School, we had two HIV incidents. One was founded, one was unfounded. So we have a total of five incidents to report this evening, one founded, four unfounded. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm looking for a motion, please, on action item 16-SU-012.
Motion. So moved.
Sue, second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Clark this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Juskowitz?
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Rudelgoda?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight as we consider the feasibility of closing school in the Clinton Township School District. For those of you in the audience who were part of the district 10 years ago in 2006, I'm sure you will recall there were three schools operating in the Clinton Township School District. They were Spruce Run School, Patrick McGarren, and the Round Valley School. At that time, we had over 1,800 students enrolled in the district. Now, in 2016, the district has four schools with the addition of the Clinton Township Middle School in 2007. The board recognizes that there have been shifts over the past 10 years in both our enrollment and in our demographics. And tonight we will explore together whether those changes warrant the closing of a school in Clinton Township. This is a very, very, very long, and I will emphasize very long presentation. It contains a lot of information, and each slide has a considerable amount of information on it. We'd like to ask you to please bear with us as we try to explain all aspects of the committee's considerations and findings. At the conclusion of our presentation, the members of the Board of Education will be able to address the ad hoc committee and ask questions regarding tonight's presentation. Once the Board of Education has asked all of their questions, I will open the floor up to a public comment section on agenda items only, where members of the public will be able to ask questions regarding tonight's presentation only. As we present the findings of this committee, we welcome each of you to consider any questions you may have as we go through the slides. But again, we'd ask the public to hold on to your questions until the floor is open to public comment section that I just spoke about. The Board of Education will not vote on the committee's recommendation this evening. The committee will ask the board to consider all the information presented tonight. The full board will vote on a resolution whether to or not to adopt the committee's recommendation at a later date. The presentation will be placed on the district website this week, and if you should have any further questions, please do not hesitate to email, and I'll put this up on the screen later, email address ctsd@ctsd.k12.nj.us, and I'll make sure everybody has that available to them. So with that, let's move forward with our agenda for this evening. Yep. As the Board of Education conducts its business, we are guided by the same two overarching goals. The first goal is an educational goal, and we are focused on providing the structure that results in the highest quality education possible to the children that live in Clinton Township. Our second overarching goal is a financial one, and that is to remain fiscally responsible to the taxpayers of Clinton Township. As we are aware, currently the district is facing a decline in student enrollment and increasing in our budget. If we take a look at the next slide, this is a summary of the district's enrollment over the past 20 years. And if you focus on 2006, you'll see that our enrollment peaked at 1842. And presently, we're hovering around 1,410, 1,408 students. Now, with this decline in enrollment, many people make this key assumption that declining enrollment equals a reduction in school budget dollars and a reduction in staff. Unfortunately, in this particular educational climate, the equation does not hold true. There are two primary drivers that have increased our spending in our school district. One is unfunded mandates, and the second is an increase in our required spending. The next portion of our presentation will focus on the aspect of declining enrollment equals reduction in our school budget dollars. This particular chart shows the makeup of our budget into three categories of how the budget's comprised. There are three parts: the salary and benefits, variable costs, and required costs. And you can see by this chart, the majority of our budget, almost $21 million, 78%, is salary and benefits. Our variable costs are 15% of our budget, about almost $4 million, and 7% are required spending. Now, you may be sitting there asking yourself, okay, what's a variable cost? Well, our variable costs are things like textbooks, professional staff development, programs we put together, supplies for departments, unexpected mandates that are imposed on us by the state, and other improvements to district programs in the classroom. Required spending components, or the components of required spending, are mandated special education spending, building maintenance like custodial supplies and repairs, transportation, and state-mandated testing. If you take a look at this slide, this just demonstrates that over the course of the last 10 years, the makeup of our budget, or the three components of our budget, it remains relatively the same. There have been significant changes in education over the last 10 years, and they've impacted our district from an operational perspective as well as a financial perspective. And I'd just like to touch on about five of these very quickly. What's different today that's driving costs in our district is an increase in technology needs. Also, changes in laws relative to HIB, New Jersey Achieve, IDEA, and ADA. There have been significant changes in special education law, American with Disabilities, and dyslexia law. We've had the addition of the Common Core, the PARC, New Jersey Smart, New Jersey Achieve, and assessments in the classroom. And the last one I would like to highlight is our security needs. Everyone here is aware of Newtown, Columbine, and other shootings that we've had in our country over the course of the years. And this, too, you'll see in a moment how that's driven our costs up in our district. So what I'd like to do is take a moment to highlight a few of these impactful changes and show you how much it's cost our district. I'd like to look at some unfunded mandates that have had some severe impacts on our district. An unfunded mandate, for those of you that are not aware, are mandates made by the state that districts don't have a choice to implement. They're unfunded, most of them, if not all of them, which means the state expects you to initiate them and implement them in your district, but they don't give you the money to do that. This is an unfunded mandate, and recently we've had to implement a new teacher and principal evaluation system. This new unfunded mandate has cost the district about $200,000. We've had to purchase new software for administrative evaluation systems. We've had training costs relative to this mandate, and we had to add a new administrator to fulfill these requirements. Now, this is one of those slides I mentioned to you before that has a lot of data on it, but I think it's really important for us to take a few moments to understand the impact of this particular mandate on our staff. These are the five steps that are expected to happen when you're conducting a teacher's evaluation in our district, or in any district in the state of New Jersey, frankly. You have to review the lesson plan, you have a pre-meeting with the teacher, you have to observe in the classroom the lesson, you write the evaluation as the administrator, and then you conduct a post-evaluation meeting. Now, our district has 11 administrators, and they're tasked to complete about 708 teacher evaluations per year. That's about 64 evaluations per administrator per year. They take about 4 hours to complete each. So if you multiply those 4 hours times 64 for each administrator, that's 256 hours per year for one administrator. I just want to give you a comparison. Not too long ago, there was a different evaluation system that the district and districts in the state of New Jersey had implemented. In the old system, we did 270 less evaluations in the district. So you can see that the new mandate has really applied some more work hours on our administrators. Another unfunded mandate I'd like to highlight this evening is our harassment, intimidation, and bullying law. We know it as HIB. We had to buy software to help manage this particular mandate. It was only $2,000. But the impact on our administration and our staff is very significant. If you see here up on the screen, there are 6 steps in order to complete this investigation. One simple investigation of just 2 students has 6 steps in it. Some investigations may be as involved as including administrators, counselors, and people from the police department as well. I just want to give you real quick a couple of examples here. If you take the easiest investigation that we can have in-house here, it would involve 2 students. And it takes an average administrative hours of 12 administrative hours to conduct 1 investigation at the simplest level with 2 students. We've had some investigations which are as complicated as 14 students, and that took as many as 75 hours for our administration to complete. If you take the total number of investigations that are done in a given year, so let's look at 2012-2013, you'll see that we had 70 that year. If you just keep it very basic and only 2 students, that's 840 hours our administration and staff participate in this type of investigation. We have no choice but that when there is a claim of bullying, we have to investigate it, so we can't avoid doing this. The next unfunded mandate I'd like to highlight this evening is the Common Core. So implementing the Common Core in this school district has cost us almost $400,000. We had to align with professional development, with workshops, we had to buy Go Math materials and books, we had to align with the new generation science standards, We had to buy science kits and purchase materials that were hands-on to align with this. We also had to add a supervisor of instruction so that we could conduct testing and analyze park data and help us to develop professional development for our staff as well as the use of data. Now, to get ready for park, which is another unfunded mandate by the state, that cost us almost $750,000 just to get park ready. We had to buy Chromebooks, we had to increase the number of access points we had to increase our bandwidth and wiring. So that was a significant amount of money that the district had to outlay to comply with this mandate. We had to hire, the next mandate, we had to hire a district technology support person to be able to meet the requirements of New Jersey Smart in addition to PARC, and that cost us $40,000 plus benefits. I'd like to move away from unfunded mandates for a moment and talk a little bit about some categories of increased spending that the district has encountered. We spoke a little bit before about security. The district has spent almost $1 million on ensuring the safety of our staff and of our children in our buildings. We've put in new doors, 3M glass film, we've secured main entrances with cameras and buzzers, we have outdoor security cameras and newly keyed doors. Another area of significant required spending for our district is healthcare benefits. Healthcare benefits from the year 2010-11 to 2014-15 increased $734,000. Now, we could have incurred a higher amount from healthcare benefits, but in 2012-2013, we moved over to the state healthcare plan, which saved us $154,000 the first year that we were in that plan. So every year subsequent to that, we're saving money because of that particular move. Another category of required spending comes around with our aging buildings. You can see here in this chart that Spruce Run was built in 1955, Round Valley was built in 1965, McGarren in 88, and the Clinton Township Middle School in 2007. I want to give you one example of expenditure that we have with our aging buildings. Our wastewater treatment plants at Patrick McGarren and at Round Valley School. Over the past 2 years, we've spent $210,000 upgrading that system and making sure that it works. And within the next year, we're going to spend another $350,000 to make sure that that system works. To replace that system would be about approximately $1 million. Now, at the moment, there isn't a sewer line available to connect Patrick and Darren to a sewer line, so we'll have to continue to maintain this particular system. I'm going to pass it over to Ms. McLaughlin.
I just need to find this. Bear with me for one second. What am I doing? Oh, the height. Yes, just the height. All right, I'm here, right? Good evening. I'd like to thank all of you for coming out and listening tonight to this important topic. I'm going to take you through some other areas of required spending. We have had some changes to special education law and requirements. Circumstances that may require the district to place a student in an out-of-district setting, public or private. There are funding variables from year to year. Transportation would be one of those variables, including that the district never receives full reimbursement for an out-of-district placement. In addition, the cost of private school programs is increasing. There is no set cap on the amount of tuition that out-of-district schools can charge, and basically we are at their liberty to pay whatever the rate is. An example would be an out-of-district placement in Clinton Township is approximately $100,000 per student without transportation. The district may realistically be reimbursed 75% of $45,000 of the total cost of tuition, or $33,750. The IDEA grant typically covers approximately 50% of our total out-of-district tuition costs, excluding transportation, which continues to rise. I'm going to take you back to that first assumption, which was that our declining enrollment would be equivalent to a reduction in school budget dollars and a reduction in staff positions. We've already covered the primary drivers of unfunded mandates, and now we're going to shift to talk about changes in instructional models.
So one of the assumptions as this particular ad hoc committee began to look at this particular charge was if we have a reduction, significant reduction in student enrollment, then there should, one would assume, to be a significant reduction in staff. And there are several reasons why this is not necessarily true. If you look at the total staff in 2006, we had approximately 277 staff members. Today, we have approximately 263 staff members, which represents a decrease of 14 members. There are certain programs that are required to have additional staff members from the 2007 to 2016 time period. Some of them I'm going to highlight on this slide. One is the opening of the Clinton Township Middle School. And with the opening of the middle school, we moved to an instructional model of the middle school model. Students are formed in academic teams around their content areas, and they were able to go between a set amount of teachers. We also had the implementation of the co-teaching model, which is a philosophy that this board in particular has backed, which is having students that are classified can as one of the options be included into the general education setting with both a special education and regular education teacher. We've had an increase in the number of pre-kindergarten sections in 2010 and 2011. We also were required to have additional staff to fulfill the state requirements that we had spoken about previously, the unfunded mandates such as teacher evaluations and New Jersey SMART. And last year, we moved to a full-day kindergarten model, which also changed our staffing numbers. However, the district is always very conscious of cost, and we have taken several actions to contain our costs. If you look on the screen, the first objective that we have looked at is refinancing our debt service in 2011 and 2015. We have successfully reduced our interest payments over time. The district has saved approximately $2,375,000, $175,117. We have applied for the School Development Authority grants, which have saved us approximately $1.2 million over 13 years at an average rate of $100,000 per year. One thing that we've done is created a building maintenance plan to manage costs over time. We have noted that over time, there wasn't a very solid facilities management plan. And so over the course of the last several years, we've detailed building maintenance schedules, reducing the long-term larger repairs. And I'm gonna give you an example of that. If in one of the school building parking lots there was a crack that was approximately 2 feet by 2 inches deep, it would cost approximately $2.10 to seal. But if we ignored that crack and that crack became 2 to 5 times larger, the cost would increase to $200 to $500 to repair it. So this is one way we have tried to minimize our costs. In addition, we entered the school choice program in the 2011 to present timeframe, and we've generated revenue of $5.4 million. This particular revenue was designated to purchase curriculum books, materials, and to develop some of the programs that I stated on a previous slide. In addition, we have utilized Source for Teachers. We have contracted with Source for Teachers to contain our benefit costs. In particular, we've accrued savings in healthcare benefits for long-term substitutes, maternity leaves, long-term illness, and this has protected the district from penalties that are associated with the newly implemented Affordable Care Act. In addition, we have entered the state healthcare plan system. In the first year of the plan, the district saved $154,000 approximately, and annually we review this plan and we continue to save as a result of being a part of this plan. In addition, we have contained costs in special education. You'll remember that previously I talked to you a little bit about out-of-district placements. We try at best to maintain all of our students and not have to send them out of district. So we have introduced some innovative plans to try to keep all of our students in district, including the use of an in-district solutions program, which is it's a program that helps students stay in district as opposed to being sent out of district. We have had some community-based instruction programs. We've provided some multi-sensory instruction for students that might be struggling with reading comprehension, and we've provided creative programming to maintain special education students with their non-disabled peers. The next part of our presentation, we're going to talk a little bit more about the financial aspect, and I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce Mr. William Colitano. Many of you who have come to some of our budget meetings know him as our in-house auditor. I asked him how many years has he been coming to Clinton Township, and he said too many to count, but in actuality, I think it's well over 20 years. So, Mr. Colitano.
Thank you. Everybody ready to be bored? Now you're going to be talking about numbers. Every year I do a audit presentation to tell the Board of Education where they've been this past year. And I pick out various pages within the audit report, which is like 100 and some pages. What the audit does require that we put into it is 10 years worth of financial data. And the thought was that tonight, perhaps, one of those audit exhibits or the statistical data pages would be interesting, to me anyway, to highlight where Clinton Township has been for the last 10 years. The audit exhibit I'm referring to is the J4 exhibit, which has 10 columns of both revenues and expenditures. So for the presentation tonight, I took out the middle 8 years and compared the 10-year activity. If you look at the first line on the revenues, taking the two items of tax levy is made up of two components, the general fund or the operating expenses and debt service. Debt service is to pay off the debt for the construction of the schools, improvements, etc. Over the 10-year period of time, combining the two items, there's been an increase of $4,078,536. If you take the two numbers to the right, that comes out to a 19.78% increase. The state of New Jersey is now requiring a 2% allowed increase in taxation per year. This is over a 10-year period of time. Prior to now, you were allowed a larger increase. Of that $4,078,000, just as a point of interest, over the last 5 years of the $4,078,000 increase, taxes have gone up in Clinton Township $559,000 of the total $4,078,000. So basically what's happened over the five last years, there's only an increase of $560,000, say, of that total $4,078,000. Now, one thing to remember in Clinton Township is the impact of the tax increase. One of the audit exhibits reflects what the taxable values of the community are. You have to excuse me for going through the pages. Thanks. In Clinton Township, the total assessed values I should have had this available. The total assessed values in Clinton Township for the year 2015 was $2,149,000,000, basically, which means that for every $214,913 is 1 cent on the tax rate. Like I just indicated, $559,000 increase over the last 5 years is a little more than 2 cents, 2.6 cents on the tax rate. 1 cent means $10 an increase in real estate taxes on a $100,000 home. Your house is $500,000, 1 cent is $50. In your particular case, over the last 5 years, 2.6 cents. So you're talking about a little bit over $200, a little bit over $100 for that 5 year period of time. So basically what I'm saying is the increase in taxes has been kept down for the last 5 years. And I think every year when I make my presentation here, I reflect that there's been a strong effort of maintaining costs. What happens in a school district, particularly out in this part of the state, it's a balancing act. You have to worry about the taxation impact and also the impact on the students. So whenever you make a decision, you have to look at both sides. In this particular case, again, the $200,000 being 1 cent, it's a measurement that the Board of Education members have to make. The second item of revenues is tuition. I live in Lebanon Borough. Part of the tuition that Clinton Township receives is the kids from Lebanon Borough, the 7th and 8th graders. Over that 10-year period of time, tuition has increased about 76%, $196,000. This has helped maintain an increase in taxes. Miscellaneous revenue is down. Everybody who has a bank account over the last few years knows what's happened to your interest income. The primary decrease in income from the miscellaneous sources is interest income. We're just not making any money anymore, but it's not our fault. Nobody's paying anything. Miscellaneous revenues, this pertains to your grant funds. Luckily, the school district has managed to receive an additional $51,000 in special revenue grants from outside sources other than the state and federal government. State sources for your revenues has increased $244,000 over the last 10 years, a mere 15%. One of the reasons that your taxes are going up is the state contribution to education has not kept up with your needs. The one item was mentioned previously, over the 10-year period of time, we managed to obtain the operating revenue for school choice. This is because outside students want to come to Clinton Township. We've managed to receive $1,080,000 extra measuring this year to what happened back in 2006. State grants for special revenue purposes, a mere $11,000 increase. Federal grants, an increase of $101,000. So again, one of the things that are driving real estate taxes in Clinton Township are the lack of support from the federal and state governments. Now, the pages, next one. I didn't keep my page going. This is the expenditures. The area that I'm referring to as instruction is the in-school instructional areas for both regular students and special ed students, a mere increase of 16.74% over that 10-year period of time. This is partially a result of the decrease in student enrollment where we've managed to only increase taxes by, not sorry, expenditures by 16.7%. Things are being kept under control. One item that's misleading, the instruction where it says budgeted tuition, this is the line item for special education tuition for out-of-school placements that's in the budget and paid for by taxpayers. That's showing a 215% increase. That's primarily because of the fact that the way we're paying for a special education course now, before we had originally grants, now it's coming out of the budget. But there's not that kind of an increase. Really, special ed costs are only up about 36% as opposed to that 215. One item that's been difficult for Clinton Township and all of my other districts is the students and instructional related services. This is primarily your mandated cost. Of the $1,038,000, we've increased spending for the child study team of $338,000, a mandated item. Administrative expenses, there's a decrease over the 10-year period of time of 14%, even though we've added an additional school. Plan operations and maintenance is up 30%. That includes the addition of a new school in school year 2007-08. Transportation is down in both categories, regular and special education. Employee benefits, this has been an additional cost in all school districts. You're not alone. It's a 55% increase here in Clinton Township. It would have been higher if you had not changed your plans than the other items. You got the last slide. No, that's good. Go back to one slide. This is the one that I identified. Is there a total? No, there's not. There's one in between then for a total. About one right above it should be, maybe not. Look, at any rate, the area the taxpayer paid increases is up roughly $4 million over that period of time. But looking at the expenditure areas that we've been talking about, most of them have been kept under control. It's a difficult job to run a school district at this point in time because of the mandates. Even though population is down, the cost, the ones that are being put on the school district by outside sources have increased. Okay, the total expenditures for that period of time, you can see there's a 15% increase or a 16% increase over the 10-year period of time. Again, remember, the state indicated within the last 5 years that you're only allowed a 2% increase in expenditures or taxation. Over that 10-year period of time, we've averaged less than 2% a year. That's pretty much it. Nobody fell asleep, I hope.
Okay, so we've reviewed the impacts on our budget over time related to unfunded mandates, increases in our required spending. So the board asks itself a question, where do we go from here? We have an understanding of all these different things and how they've impacted our school district. So where do we go from here? In October of 2014, we formed an ad hoc committee to examine the feasibility of closing a school. And you can see up here the variety of committee members that we've had over this long study, in addition to administrators that participated in this as well. The goal of this particular ad hoc committee was to review all possibilities involved in a reorganization of the Clinton Township School District to reduce the overall annual budget while maintaining the quality of education for the children in our community. The committee first sat down and designed a process to conduct this evaluation. We wanted to evaluate the drivers of past, current, and future enrollment trends. We wanted to conduct a capacity analysis of each building. We wanted to review options for utilizing existing building space as it is today and identify the pros and cons of doing that. We then wanted to review the options for utilization under our district building consolidation structure and the associated pros and cons with that. So the initial action that we took as a committee is we commissioned Statistical Forecasting, Inc. to conduct a demographic study on behalf of the Board of Education. We asked them to project future enrollments over the next 3 to 5 years, and we wanted to have an understanding of the drivers that were impacting our enrollment. We wanted to use the data created by this organization to help look at our or drive a capacity analysis of our buildings over time. Now, what did we learn from their study? We learned a lot. The first thing we learned is that the population in Clinton Township had its greatest growth between 1970 and 1980 at 44%. In contrast, however, we had the lowest growth between 2000 and 2010, growing only 4%. We wanted then to understand what is actually driving those numbers, and what they shared with us is that younger people of childbearing years are living in cities and away from the suburbs. All those folks grew up in the suburbs and now wanted to live in the cities. Families are also having less children than they've had in the past. And here in Clinton Township, and I can attest for this, we have an aging population, and our average population is 40.9 years old. The number of women of childbearing years in Clinton Township is decreasing, thus we have a decline in the total number of births. Large companies have left our area, for example, Merck, Foster Wheeler, and AT&T. And we're also starting to see a trend of children going to private schools versus attending public schools. We learned from the Statistical Forecast Organization that unless there is a traumatic event that occurs in one of our cities, whether it be Philadelphia, New York City, Clinton Township is going to continue to see a significant decline for the next 7 to 8 years in enrollment and in our population. So we looked at our enrollment overall, and we reviewed our enrollment, as I showed you before, over the last 10, 20 years. We evaluated our current enrollment. We looked at the total number of sections or homerooms we had, total class size. We reviewed enrollment trends over the next 3 years. We looked at the potential impact of legal COA requirements and new construction on future enrollment. And we looked at the policy that dictates district class sizes. The next step is we conducted a capacity analysis, and we identified in each of our buildings the total number of homerooms, special education rooms, sensory rooms, health and fitness, small group instructions, technology, music band, enrichment, STEM rooms, life skills. And then we took that analysis and we put it into each individual building. And we identified all the characteristics or the types of rooms we had in each building. And then we started to put in our specific enrollment numbers and identified which rooms were available and or not being used in each building. Okay. It was then important to evaluate each building on a multitude of different categories so that we could begin to understand what our potential options were relative to consolidation. So in each particular building, we looked at the flexibility that particular building had to handle future increases in enrollment. We also then looked at changes or potential changes in special education law that might impact or affect a particular building. We looked at the operating budget to run each school. We looked at short-term and long-term capital project needs for each building. And then we looked at the general maintenance that was required to maintain each building. I'm gonna pass this off to Ms. McLaughlin to look at consolidation options.
Before I turn the slide, I just wanna reiterate that this is our preliminary 15-month look at what can be done in terms of consolidation. So I want everybody to keep an open mind because that's what the board has done, and the board has made no decisions at this point. We are just sharing all of the options that we looked at, and we will have discussions about what step we will move forward from this point. Okay. Our first option we looked at was to repurpose all four buildings. We would reconfigure the district into neighborhood schools. Our current alignment is not based upon neighborhoods. We would utilize existing unused space for revenue generating purposes. Options included a daycare, a senior center, some sort of special education program, respite care, or a vocational technical school. The second option we looked at was consolidating our four buildings into three buildings. What would happen with that fourth school? We could sell the school to a potential buyer. We could potentially mothball a school. And I'm going to talk a little bit about mothballing. There might be an assumption that if you take four buildings and consolidate them to three, and you just leave the other buildings sitting vacant, and that is not the case. When you technically mothball a school, you keep ownership of the building, but you still have to maintain the lawns, you still have to heat the building, you still have to run the electric. If you at any time decide to take that building back, for example, there was maybe another population boom at some point, then you would have to look at what your ADA compliance was, and you would have to get that school back in line. Another option would be to create and develop and implement a revenue generating source for that fourth building if we were to consolidate into three buildings. The third option we looked like was to maintain our current configuration and not do anything at this point. So what would repurposing look like of the buildings? So currently, I'm gonna have you look at the left-hand side of the screen first. Our current configuration is that at Spruce Run School, we have pre-K to first grade students. At Patrick McGarren, we have second and third grade students. At Round Valley School, we have fourth through sixth grade students. And at the Clinton Township Middle School, we have seventh and eighth grade students. If we reconfigured into the neighborhood school option, Spruce Run would be reconfigured to a pre-K to three school. Patrick McGarren would be reconfigured to a pre-K to three school. Round Valley School would be reconfigured, or I would say the same, 4 through 6 school, and Clinton Township Middle School would remain the same at a 7-8 school. What are the pros and cons? We looked at several. So reconfiguring into neighborhood schools would mean less transitions for students. Currently, our students transition through 4 different buildings in their entire time in Clinton Township. It would be more convenient for parents and families. There would be less transitioning. I know myself that every 2 years, I have to get acclimated to a new school. More interaction between grade levels. There possibly could be less travel time among buses. As you know, our township is very spread out and several of our students spend a lot of time on the bus. We also would redraw the lines yearly based on our population. In terms of the cons, we didn't feel after our study that there was any real financial benefit to creating neighborhood schools. We would have some staff that would have to travel, particularly in the unified arts areas. There would be less consistency among grade levels, as those particular grades would not all be housed in the same building and would be at different schools. There could be difficulty with consistent sizing of schools because we would have to redraw the lines every year based on the way our population is laid out. There would be geographic challenges. Parents would not know from year to year which school would be their home school. And there could also result in some possible competition between schools. The next option was to repurpose the 4 buildings, utilizing the existing space for a revenue-generating purpose. So we looked at the Vocational Technical High School, who expressed a high level of interest. They were primarily interested in a cosmetology school. The committee felt that they would be very concerned with chemical odors and environmental concerns, so we felt that that would not be a viable option. We spoke with several daycares, also a high level interest. But as you saw from our demographic study, that wouldn't be supported or sustainable over time, based on our current demographics. The pros of this particular model would be that we could increase our revenue. We would also have additional community involvement in our schools. The cons would be that we would not be able to handle such sudden, sharp increases in our enrollment with this particular option. We would not have a reliable, sustainable source of revenue. There could be potential security risks from allowing additional members outside of our community utilizing our schools. We would have to spend money to upgrade buildings for new purposes. And as I said previously, Clinton Township is experiencing declining birth rates, driving a smaller need for new daycares. Our second assumption that we've been talking about is that in 2006, there were 1,842 students in 3 buildings. And today, in 2016, there are 1,410 students in 3 buildings. There are several reasons for a shift in instructional models. I want to remind you that none of the board members that are currently on this board proposed building the Clinton Township Middle School. So we are taking all of the information that we have ascertained over the last 10 years and laying it out in a reasonable format so that we can analyze the data. We have noticed that there have been shifts in instructional models, such as moving to the middle school model, having co-teaching classrooms, and full-day kindergarten. Previously, when there were 3 buildings, we noted that there was overcrowding in our schools, that students were being instructed in hallways, that some unified arts classes were on carts. There was an increase in behavioral issues. Some related services did not have separate classrooms. What do I mean by that? Occupational therapy, physical therapy, and that particular educational model seemed to be outdated at the time. So let's compare and contrast what our schools look like then versus now. Spruce Run School. Our current enrollment in the district is 1,410 students. We have additional classrooms for special education purposes. We have increased technology needs. There needs to be more space and enhanced technology labs with newer equipment. As we stated, we have several unfunded mandates, including the onset of the Common Core and PARC. All special areas now have their own classrooms, enhancing learning opportunities, and there are no unified arts that are utilizing carts. We have full-day kindergarten in more classrooms. We have dedicated rooms for important purposes: occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech, sensory classrooms. We have resource classrooms, literacy support classrooms, and a study buddies program classroom. Our classrooms have smart boards, projectors, sound fields, iPads, and Chromebooks. So as you can see, 2016 is very different than 2006. At Patrick McGarren School, we have dedicated rooms for occupational therapy and physical therapy. There is space to support programs such as life skills and reading support programs. We have two technology labs which support Park and Alexia literacy program. There are small group instruction rooms. All curricular areas have their own classroom enhancing opportunities for learning. For example, an art lab. There are office and professional development space for our curriculum department. We also have more flexible lunch periods, resulting in positive social interactions. Previously, the lunchroom was very crowded and the lunch times had to be condensed. So now we can actually spread out our lunch periods. At Round Valley School, we currently have literacy support and math support dedicated classrooms with staff trained to specialize in targeted remedial instruction. We offer more programs, PSD, autism, possible self-contained resource classrooms. We have community-based instruction, which has a dedicated space. We have the use of augmentative communication devices via iPads. We have a sensory classroom. We have in-district solutions, which has a dedicated classroom. We have BCBA, which stands for a board certified behavior analyst, which has an office house at Round Valley School. We provide ongoing parent training for parents and students with ASD. We have multi-sensory instruction and dedicated rooms for our staff. And we also have the need for a tech applications classroom with its own classroom. I'm now going to turn it back over to Mrs. Grant.
So now the committee has garnered the following information. We now have an understanding of our new educational models and structures. We have an understanding of our building structural strengths, weaknesses, and capacity. We have an understanding of our current enrollment and our projected enrollment numbers. So the committee asked the following question. At the current enrollment numbers, could the district consolidate the student population into three buildings? And the answer is potentially by restructuring our buildings. So if we restructured our buildings, what would it look like? What would this new configuration look like? The current configuration, as we all know, is Spruce Run, is pre-K to 1. Patrick McGarren is 2 to 3. Around Valley School is 4 to 6. And Clinton Township is 7 to 8. In a new configured district, Spruce Run would be repurposed. Patrick McGarren would then become pre-K to 2. Round Valley would be grades 3 to 5, and the Clinton Township Middle School would be a true middle school at grades 6 through 8. Why did we choose to potentially repurpose Spruce Run? Because of its smaller capacity of all of our four buildings. It has the least amount of flexibility to expand if we had to expand because enrollment increased or there were new laws relative to special education or if we had an increase in special education needs. In addition, this building is the oldest in our district and will require more maintenance over time. So let's take a look at the pros and cons that the committee has identified with the consolidation of our district into three buildings. The educational pros. Sixth grade students could participate in after-school activities and sports, which they can't do right now as being part of Round Valley. The middle school model would be consistently implemented now among three grade levels. Age spans would be developmentally closer. Special education transitions would have a three-year age span. And grade three students would have options like band and chorus available to them. The educational cons, we'd have no flexibility to create or expand academic programs. The number of classrooms would be at its max. Scheduling challenges and lack of consistency for programs would occur. We wouldn't have a science lab for sixth grade at the middle school. There would be no physical therapy and occupational therapy rooms at CTMS. We would need to do some construction, and that would be an additional cost. Staff and administration reductions may impact education, and Patrick McGarren's lunch might start as early as 10:50 in the morning. Again, we mentioned this a few moments ago, you can't predict special education needs, so we wouldn't have flexibility to meet unexpected special education needs. So maybe the needs of additional resource rooms, self-contained rooms, and support rooms. And lastly, gym classes at Patrick McGarren may increase, requiring us to hire another staff member. If we move on to the impacts relative to consolidation and focus in on operational requirements, the district would have to build a science lab for sixth grade at CTMS. We'd have to convert two breakout rooms at CTMS into classrooms. We'd have to construct a physical therapy and occupational rooms at CTMS. We'd have to move the professional development office from Patrick McGarren over to the board office, and then have to reconfigure the board office over at Round Valley. We'd then have to move the maintenance folks from the board office and create a new office space, perhaps a new portion to a building outside of the garage at Round Valley. We'd have to require waivers for substandard spaces and for bathrooms. We may need to create an additional bathroom or bathrooms at Patrick McGarren if waivers are not granted to the district. We'd have increase in activity costs in our budget for sports and clubs. We need additional staff members to cover lunch and recesses. And CTMS would require additional wiring and access points. This is a very high level evaluation of our economic impact on consolidation. The cost to convert breakout rooms, we have an estimate right now, would be $850,000 to the district. Again, the cost to add bathrooms if we didn't get waivers at Patrick McGarren. We'd have legal fees associated with realignment of personnel, and we'd have to conduct much further, much more extensive consolidation analysis before this was complete. We identified areas of saving for the district relative to consolidation. That would be in transportation and utilities, and then potential staff reductions. The committee also identified risks associated with consolidation. There would be no room to expand. So if we consolidated, there wouldn't be room to expand if we got an increase in students. Again, we can't predict special education needs, no room to expand. There may be legal and financial ramifications if the district cannot deliver on services for children with special needs, all related with the potential inability to expand. We talked about the potential options. Ms. McLaughlin touched on this a little bit before for our rising budget. With that fourth building, we could sell that building, but the committee didn't feel that we wanted to give up the land and the building, not having very many options here in Clinton Township to build. If we did have an influx of children and our population did start to grow, we really wouldn't have another place to build another school. We also felt it would be very difficult to find a buyer. Ms. McLaughlin mentioned mothballing a school. If we did mothball a school and shut it down for a three-year period, the district would then be responsible to upgrade it to meet all the new code of the township if we wanted to bring it back to a school. That would be very, very expensive for the district. We thought about potentially renting it and utilize the space for the district, but again, as Ms. McLaughlin said before, that's not a sustainable source of revenue for us to count on. We could generate some revenue with a daycare or senior center or VOTEC. Or the other option we talked about in a great deal was creating a school for children with special needs. So in summary, the ad hoc committee did evaluate the drivers of past, current, and future enrollment trends here in the area. We conducted a capacity analysis of each building. We reviewed options for utilizing existing building space as it is today and looked at the pros and cons of that. And we reviewed options for utilization under district building consolidation structures and their pros and cons. The committee has a recommendation we'd like to give to the Board of Education now based on our study. The recommendation that the committee gives tonight to the rest of the board is based on what we know today, so March 15th, 2016. Events that we cannot influence or change in the future could impact the recommendation that we make to you this evening. Those types of things are what Merck and Foster Wheeler properties, what happens with those particular properties, if we get an unexpected influx of students, if there are world and social events that happen in our cities, or if special education law occurs and impacts our decision. So our recommendation is as follows. Do not consolidate the district for the 2016-17 and 17-18 school year. However, begin the process to prepare the district for this consolidation to occur. And the primary reason we can't do it today is driven by operational challenges. We need to create additional space to move sixth grade from Round Valley and move it up to CTMS. We need to complete other structural changes throughout the district. Our next steps, we're recommending to the board that we take the next following steps towards consolidation. The first is to continue to work with an architect to plan on and how to consolidate space. In 2016-17, we will conduct a very thorough cost analysis of this consolidation. We'll keep working with a consultant to develop a complete execution plan to consolidate district buildings and to contain costs with that consolidation. We will then identify a revenue-generating business to establish in the fourth building. We'll reevaluate student enrollment and drivers surrounding enrollment in 2 years, but also on a yearly basis. We'll explore approvals required to be achieved from the Division of School Finance of the DOE and the Executive County Superintendent. Now, this next slide is not meant to be read, but as I stated a few moments ago, we have a lot of approvals that we have to get working on with the state as well as the Executive County Superintendent for consolidation to occur. And this is just a list of those things that we need to work through. Now, the key triggers to actually consolidating the district or closing a school is that all the operational requirements and building upgrades are finalized, that the enrollment in grades 6, 7, and 8 will be 6 sections of students with class sizes that do not violate the district's policy. And we have to have a sustainable revenue-generating business identified, developed, and begin implementation in the fourth building. And that is the recommendation to the Board of Education. And I'd like to open questions to the board of the committee. You want to go sit down? Any questions of the board?